welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica and
Barney.
Amy.
Tom.
And we are at Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. And Tom is our Long Island's sidewalk astronomer.
That's right.
Welcome, Tom. Thanks for coming down today. It's Tom Lynch, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And how long have you been involved in astronomy and when did you get started?
Well, probably in the 1960s when I was about 10 years old. I remember distinctly looking at a newspaper one morning, and they were talking about the Gemini program, and all of a sudden, I was hooked. So from that day on, it's been a hobby, reading about space and astronomy, and then ultimately getting a telescope and doing a lot of observing, and then ultimately doing outreach, which is sidewalk astronomy and things like that, and then again, the library telescope program.
That's what we really want to talk about today, the library telescope program, and how it came about and how we ended up here with a program here in Syosset.
Okay. So, Tom, I know that you reached out to libraries yourself, right, through the Facebook pages, but we didn't see your post.
That's right. What I had heard about library telescopes, it started about 10 years ago, and I'd heard of it, and after a little while, I realized, hey, my library should have one, and I live in Lynbrook. So I contacted the library and explained to them what the program was, and I actually donated the telescope to them, and they started it. And I was kind of done at that point. I hadn't really thought much about it. And then I got an email from another library, and this is like a year ago maybe, so 4 years that Lynbrook had it. And they had bought a telescope. They wanted to do it. They'd spoken to the Lynbrook library, and they were interested in it. So I helped them. And then I realized this is a great thing, that I'd love to bring this to a lot more people, a lot more libraries. So I've been contacting libraries and trying to get it raised, the issue with them. And I've got 7 now. I got 3 that are interested. And I'm not done yet. I'm still contacting libraries.
Right. So I heard about him through my friends at the Belmore Library who had a telescope. So I asked them for information, and they put me in touch with Tom. And he came in after we bought our 2 telescopes, and he modified them for us, which you'll speak more of, I'm assuming.
Sure.
And he did some staff training, and he did 2 patron trainings, and they were huge successes. We had like almost 100 people at the 2 of those. So,
yeah, they were great. It was a lot of kids, and that was a lot of fun.
A lot of kids.
You know, I in the beginning, I thought teaching people how to use the telescope, I thought, well, you teach the adults will teach the kids. No. Mm-hmm. You teach the kids will teach the adults, is what I found. So it was really good that there were a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm. The Library Telescope Program is not a local program, and this thing has gone nationwide. I think it started up in New Hampshire, maybe about—
That's right.
I'm not quite sure how long ago.
Yeah, it's about 10 years now. There's a guy named Mark Stowbridge with the New Hampshire Astronomical Society. Mm-hmm. And they came up with the idea, that's the society, and Mark did the design. He picked the telescope because it was a good, sturdy telescope. He designed the modifications that would be made to it. And the idea there was to make it simple, keep it so that people can't lose things, people can less likely to damage it. It can always be damaged. It could be dropped. But it's a pretty sturdy little telescope, and it's a very good telescope for its size.
So across the board, the people who are borrowing the library telescopes, is it the same telescope in most libraries that you're borrowing?
It is. This is sort of the standard, the one that's recommended, and for a lot of reasons. Bigger telescopes are better. You know, this isn't the best telescope out there, but it's good in that it's small enough to move around easily so that you're not going to damage it. It's small enough that you can glue in a bunch of pieces so they can't get lost. The bigger it is, the more difficult it is. And if you're going to give it to somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience with a telescope, this is perfect. But you can get a lot bigger. Like mine, this is 4.5 inches wide, the tube. My personal telescope is 12 inches wide. And it seems to get heavier every year. It's about 100 pounds in total, but it feels a lot more at this point. And it's work. So this is easy to transport, easy to use. You do need a table to put it on, which you know, takes a little doing. But other than that, it's very self-contained.
So when people sign up and borrow the scope from the library, what should they expect? What can you describe a little bit for them, what the scope is, how it works? I know they're not seeing it, but what can they expect and how are they going to use it at home?
Okay, well, hopefully they had attended the training session, so they would have some experience with it. Now, that, of course, isn't always going to be the case. So if they have no experience with it, there's a sticker on the telescope with a QR code, which you put your phone on it, and it links you to a website, librarytelescope.org. And there's a whole lot of videos and explanations there. So there's a lot they could do there. The training that I do with people is basically this is how you use it. You know, you look through the viewfinder. First, you turn on the viewfinder. You point it at what you want to look at. You locate it in through the viewfinder. And then you look through the eyepiece. And then you focus the eyepiece. And then you change the zoom lens if you want to. And refocus. So there's this very specific steps. It's very simple. But I can tell you from experience, if you've never used a telescope before, it's hard to point it at something. It really is. And that's, you know, once you've done it a bit, it's easy. But in the beginning, it's very difficult. So that's why some, you know, personal instruction is really good to get somebody going with it.
Now, we've also, when people pick up the scope, and Amy, you kind of were involved in putting the whole project together here at the library. They also get a little packet, a nice green little carry-on folder, and it's got some, I guess, Skywatch guides and things. How did you guys come about choosing these particular items? These were recommendations from Tom.
Okay. And that rustling is Barney looking through the looking through the packet.
Sorry about that.
No, it adds atmosphere.
So I'm looking here. We have an instruction manual for the scope, which tells people, I guess, the basics of using it. We have a planisphere. We have the Night Watch Practical Guide to Viewing the Universe, Pocket Sky Atlas. So there's a lot of material in here to help somebody who's just starting out figure out what should I look at and how do I find it.
That's right. And the manual is not the manufacturer's manual, because the manufacturer's manual would not include the modifications. So that manual that's there, which is like 8-9 pages long, really suits the telescope. This is the modifications we made. And some libraries do different modifications. They're a little bit different. But for the most part, it's pretty standard, especially here on Long Island. After that, the planisphere is really great. From that planisphere, you can adjust it to the date and time, and that shows you what the sky would look like. Now, it's better you're in a dark place, because most of those stars that show up on the planisphere you're not going to see around here. Long Island is probably one of the worst places to stargaze in the world. Certainly the closer you get to the New York City line, the worse it gets. So the further out you go. But if you're in a backyard and it's somewhat dark, you can see a lot more. So it definitely is helpful. If you go to a dark place, let's say you go on vacation and you go to the Catskills or something like that, that could be really, really nice. You'd see a lot of stars. Beyond that, there's the Night Watch book, which is, I think, personally, the best beginner's astronomy book out there. And that's why I recommend that. There are many others. They're all good, but that one is really good. The Pocket Sky Atlas, that's probably for somebody a little more advanced than a beginner. It lists everything in the sky. So that book contains what you could see in the sky in pretty much all directions with great detail. So,
and just by way of observation, the Pocket Sky Atlas is about 10 by 12 inches across. So, you need a very big pocket.
But notice that's the jumbo edition.
Yeah, exactly.
They do sell a much smaller one.
Is it pocket size?
It is, yes. I think they just made it bigger because people like bigger. But why they kept the name pocket size, I don't know.
Now, for parents in the community who might be interested in taking the scope home and letting their kids look at it, they might be a little bit nervous about, am I going to break this? Are my kids going to break this? I understand a lot of the mods that you did to the scope are kind of designed to prevent too much potential damage. You've wound it down to very, very few adjustments on the telescope. Tell us a little bit about what was done and how people don't have to worry about what they need to do to it.
That's right. The normally this telescope, you would take apart when you're not using it, you would take the lens, the eyepiece out, you would take the viewfinder off, and you would pack it away in a bag. But we're afraid people will lose or drop those, so we glue them on. The viewfinder is permanently attached. It's glued. The eyepiece, this telescope comes with two eyepieces, but we didn't use them. The library purchased a zoom eyepiece, which covers a vast area of multiple eyepieces. So with that, and that's glued in as well, so you can't drop them and you can't lose them. There's a cap for the eyepiece. There's a cover for the tube of the telescope, and those are attached by string. So if you had gone out in the evening, you take the cap off, you put them down, and you wind up leaving, and you lose them. So you can't lose them. They're attached. All right, so that's the idea. Now, there are some screws that we didn't glue, but they were because there are things you can change with it. And if we needed to do some serious work on it, it's better to have them not glued in. And what I found is that people don't really mess with what they shouldn't be messing with there. I mean, if you know, basically the eyepiece, the focus, the viewfinder, there's also a screw that you can loosen to move the barrel of the telescope. That's a little dangerous to keep that not glued, but it's really good for kids because you can adjust the eyepiece lower so that kids, you know, don't need to stand on a stool or something to look in it. So we left that open. If you took that all the way out, the tube would come out. So that wouldn't be good. But again, we found very little issues with this. And I'm connected with people throughout the country that are doing this. And there's very little problems. I mean, it happens. But for the most part, people are very careful with it. They understand that it's delicate. They understand that it's important, too, that it's functioning.
We instituted the program how long ago did we first?
A week and a half. Yes.
And there are how many reserves right now? 28 holds on the telescope.
We have two telescopes. We purchased two of them, and there are 28 holds.
So the community is definitely responding to this.
They seem to be.
Yeah, and we've even gotten, I think, some pictures of people with their kids using the telescope. Yes. It's very exciting.
Yes.
Now, that's great.
Venus, I believe.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, the Jupiter and Saturn are up later in the evening now. So it's, and in the summer it gets dark pretty late. So for kids, it gets a little difficult. But
I was out last night with my scope with the kids that live next door looking, showing them Jupiter. It was late. and unfortunately, I have the neighbor's house was kind of like right where I needed to look, but that's the downfall of living around here. Yeah. I have about a 90-degree window in my yard that I can look at. I can only look at one portion of the sky from the back. But
I had a really good backyard view, and then we decided to put a tree in to give more shade on the deck. Well, that tree grew, and now I can see about smaller area than you're talking about from my backyard, which is frustrating, but we have more shade. So
It's crazy because there are remote places I can think of on the island where you might get a better picture also. I just know that, when I used to, and it's been a while, but when I used to go upstate, you used to look at the sky and it was like you're looking at it for the first time. I can't imagine what that's like because I haven't used the telescope yet, but I'd like to. What was the first time? When you started looking through the telescope, how old were you? Well, you and Barney. Amy, are you a telescope enthusiast at home?
I'm not.
You are not. Sorry. That's this is why Tom's here, to make us telescope enthusiasts. Which when did you guys get started? What was that like?
Well, for me, I got into astronomy and space when I was probably around 10. I was probably around 13 or 14. My parents bought me a department store telescope, and it was terrible. Now, I didn't know it was terrible. I thought this was going to be great. And I worked really hard trying to get it to work. And a really cheap telescope. And my parents had no idea what they were doing. They knew I wanted a telescope. They bought it for me. So my first experience with a telescope was really, really bad. I never was able to make that thing work. And partially because I didn't know what I was doing. and also because it just wasn't very good. And they still sell telescopes like that today. So very cheap telescopes are generally not worth the money. This telescope isn't that expensive, but and it's small, but it's very good. So that's a key part of it, is getting a telescope that's good. So I read about astronomy for decades before I bought a telescope. I finally bought a telescope, and I joined an astronomy club. There's a Nassau County-based astronomy club, Amateur Observer Society of New York. They meet at Hofstra University on the first Sunday of every month. And it is it's a great group. I met them. I bought a telescope. It was a little bigger than this one, but it was 6 inches wide. And that hooked me. I loved it. And for probably 6, 7, 8 years, I used that. And then I realized that I'm not seeing everything I want to see. So I got a bigger one, a 12-inch one, which was a lot more money, a lot more difficult to move around, and things like that. But on Long Island, there aren't a lot of good places to observe. I mean, you go way out at the end, you know, Montauk or Orient Point, that'd be great out there. But there are the parks. Now, the problem with parks, especially on Long Island, is you're not allowed there after dark. Mm-hmm. So
they'll take you out.
They will. And they'll give you a ticket, too. But the club I'm a member of, and this was long before I joined, they actually talk to the state park system, and they put together a stargazer's permit. So when they did it, originally it was free. And this is probably in the 1970s, maybe the late 60s. And over the years, it's gone increased in price, and now it's $35 a year that you have. If you have that permit and it's to your car, you can park, and you have to stay with your car. You can't park and go somewhere else. The expectation is you will stay. You're not allowed to go hang out at the beach and do things like that. Your car only, that permit deals with, and then you can be there all night if you want. You will be talked to by the police. The police will come by and say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And you show them that, and they're good. So there are ways of doing it here, but it's not as easy as it is in a lot of other places.
Well, similar. I had a department store scope as a kid, which I used for a long time. It was okay. When my kids started getting interested, I, again, bought them a department store telescope. I learned. I learned as I went, and it's definitely frustrating. And then I started getting back interested in looking at the sky again, and I started with binoculars. And a lot of people will tell you that binoculars are a good way to get started into this because they're cheap, they're easy to use, it's relatively simple to find things that you're looking at. And then my wife, God bless her, said, "You know what? You should get a good telescope." So we did. And when it arrived at the house, she was stunned at the size of this whole thing, and which takes up a whole room now. But she likes it too, I guess. Anyway. It's funny that you mentioned about the department store scopes, because I had made a note here that I suspect that what might happen is people are going to borrow the telescopes, bring them home, and their kids are going to want to buy telescopes, and parents are going to want to know what to get. And I had a note on here, what's wrong with the department store telescope? And you kind of already touched on it. If a parent wants to get their kid more involved and they're looking to get a scope, what should they be looking for, and what should they anticipate having to invest in the project?
So the real problem with the department store ones is it's usually not very stable, so it shakes a lot. The finder scope is usually not very good, so it's very difficult to put it on something. Any telescope, if you don't know what you're doing, is very hard to put it on something. Even the moon. The moon, as big as it is, as bright as it is, if you don't have a good finder scope, it's really hard to get there. So those department store scopes are kind of like that. Some of them are decent, but for the most part, they're not. If you wanted to get something, I mean, this telescope is very good. Now, this comes from a company called Orion. And Orion, that's an Orion Starblast 4.5-inch reflector telescope. And they make bigger ones. There's a 6-inch, there's an 8-inch, there's a 10-inch, there's a 12-inch, like what I have. Some of them have computers on them. It gets fairly expensive, where once you set it up, you can actually make it go to what you want it to see, which is kind of fun, but it's not easy. I bought mine, and it took me almost a year to get it to work. I made every possible mistake in using it. So you got to be determined. And that's really the thing, is they say that most telescopes that people buy are sitting in a closet and haven't been used in years. So for most people, it's probably a mistake to go out and buy one. But if you really are into it and you really want to do it, it's a great hobby. I mean, I've been doing it for almost my entire life. So there's a lot of options out there, but I agree with you. Binoculars are a good start because you can learn the sky. And if you give somebody the greatest telescope in the world and say, go at it, they're going to have a hard time because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to look at. They don't know how to move things around. So it's good to learn with a smaller telescope and then gradually work your way up. Used telescopes are a good option too. I mean, people usually sell a used one for at least half of what it would go. Mm-hmm. And if you're buying it for a kid, well, the kid may not be into it next week, right? They're really into it today, but next week, no more. So it's not a good idea to make a big investment in a telescope right away.
Also, the astronomy societies here and the clubs on Long Island are also very, very happy to help somebody who's interested in learning. And if you want to go down, and you can, I'm sure, visit their meetings, and members will talk to people about their own experiences and their own equipment and kind of guide somebody who's just starting out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they'll probably talk your ear off too. And they usually have club telescopes that you can borrow as well, you know, once you join. So you can get an idea. I mean, there are different types of telescopes. There's a refractor, a reflector. I don't want to get into the details of all that. And there's others. There's a combination of the two as well. So, you know, there's lots of different choices. And, you know, I have my own feeling, you know, mine. I'm big on reflectors like this one, the library telescope, because I think they're better. They're bigger and can be bigger. Of course, now that I'm getting a little older, they're a little heavier too. So it's a bit of a challenge. But there's so many options out there. And start small. And then if you're really into it, then, you know, deal with getting a bigger one as time goes on. I think that's the way to go.
What age would you recommend starting a child on a telescope?
Oh, I'd say any age. Now, I've had one of my nieces was thrilled with the telescope. Oh, she was so into space, and she wanted to know so much. And I showed her some things, and she was really excited. And then she wasn't. It went away. So, I mean, kids can be like that. So, you know, it becomes a lifetime thing, or it becomes this week or this month. So spending a lot of money probably doesn't make a lot of sense until you've really established that the child really wants to be into it. But I would say almost any age.
I think that's what's so good about these library programs. You could, you know, I mean, libraries are here to help you discover new hobbies. And this is something you could try before you start investing in it.
That's absolutely right. I mean, this is a great telescope to start with and use and make sure you're really into it. Then you could buy this type of telescope or a little bit bigger one. You know, there's a lot of options, but I think it's a great way to start. And that's really what my goal is. I enjoy astronomy. I'd like more people to be involved in it. And this, I think, is one of the best ways of doing that. It kind of makes the telescope available to everybody. And of course, if you don't live in a district where the library is, they do it. But we're working on that.
And it works very well for this year because our summer reading theme is
A Universe of Stories.
So we've already got the space theme. Has that increased the interest, do you think, Tom?
Definitely. There have been a couple of libraries that I think jumped on board fully because of what the summer program was. Hopefully it extends well beyond the summer, and I think it will.
Thank you so much. And the response has been really good in the children's room, correct?
Correct. 28 holds as of today.
That's
yes,
wonderful.
Yes, as we've mentioned, and people they seem very excited about it.
Well, thanks for coming down, Tom. We appreciate it.
And very welcome.
With that, we will turn the page.
Close this chapter of Turn the Page. Thank you.
Page.
it's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.